It's Labor Day. H-Town, live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
Hi, Payne and Pendergast. We are acknowledging those of you that are up with us listening on a holiday today. Text message. I'm high right now playing the Ravens in the AFC Championship game on Madden, listening to Sean and Seth. Hashtag retired at 47. Army. Retired Army. Oh, thank you. Thank you for your service, sir or ma'am. Appreciate that.
So spent 20 plus years.
Yeah.
I was in, when we were at the Super Bowl, one of my Uber drivers was a recently retired Marine who'd been in all through, I think he enlisted before 9/11. I think he enlisted the summer before 9/11.
Wow.
Yeah. And then was there the whole time. But we had an interesting chat about just how things have changed in the Marines. And he was like, he wasn't being a grumpy old man about it. He's like, no, there was some stuff that they used to do back in the day that was just stupid. But now it's, he's not happy with all the changes.
Did he get deployed in any of the stuff related to 9/11 at all?
Oh, God, yeah. No, he ended up, he was, like, that's the thing, the people that have retired now, a lot of them have been, they've been in combat arenas for decades.
Yep.
Like, it's just stuff that you don't, that hasn't happened all that much, even in human history. That's why I get frustrated sometimes when people talk about, when they try to lump in all millennials or all Gen Z as, this or that, whatever negative thing they want to say about them. I'm like, all right, you're including in that, like, some of the most ridiculously well-trained and efficient military members that have ever existed in all of mankind. Yeah, let's not just paint with a broad brush here. Yeah.
Yep.
There are people who've been at war. There are millennials who are at war for decades. I don't like painting that guy in the brush of like, they don't work hard these days. Yeah.
Someone texting in working at the Kroger's meat department. I like the Kroger's meat department. If you work in the Kroger's sushi department, then you're really doing the Lord's work. I like the sushi at the Kroger's sushi department. They do a good job there. My poke bowls on game day when I come up here.
You ever eat convenience store sushi?
Probably at some point I have, I'm guessing. Yeah. But it
feels like a big leap. I don't know.
I would have thought grocery store sushi is a big leap, but it's not. It's really good. It's quality.
Well, no, I don't know. The grocery stores, in Houston, it's over. The supermarkets don't feel like you're walking into. It's just different.
Have you eaten convenience store sushi?
No. It's a leap for me to eat a convenience store sandwich. I don't know. Anytime any kind of condiment or food stuff like a deli meat or something gets involved at a convenience store, I have a hard time with that.
What about the hot dogs that are on the roller things there?
No, I won't do a rot. I don't do the hot dogs, but I've done. I'll definitely do a taquito or something like that.
That are out on the roller things, right?
Yeah.
There? Okay.
Yeah.
That's a big trust in society, right there, man. That they haven't been messing with those taquitos if they've been sitting there for a few hours.
If I'm going with a taquito, I'm in a different frame of mind usually.
Gotcha.
That's more of a munchy type thing.
Makes sense.
Brandy drove me to the convenience store because I was hungry, but not capable of driving, and I get 7 taquitos.
I got you. I got you. All right, did you happen to see any of Dave Portnoy's debut on Fox Sports this weekend?
So? Only a couple of the clips. I was driving up to visit my mom, so I didn't really I didn't have time to take all of it in.
Okay.
And all of his majesty. What's your overall take from it?
Pure wrestling heel. My overall take on, we're going to play some audio from it here in a second. My big overall take on it was, in the parts that I saw, I didn't see all of it. A lot of it I saw on social media because I was doing an appearance out in Katy, but it appeared to be exactly what we thought it would be, which is over the top wrestling heel. He's a Michigan guy. They were in Columbus. There was all sorts of controversy, whether real or fabricated, about him being allowed in the stadium. You and I had Rob Stone on last Thursday, who hosts the show Big Noon Saturday, and he didn't know. At least if he did know, he wasn't telling us. He said he didn't know what the deal was with Portnoy and what that was going to be. He got a big introduction with the smoke and coming out of a tunnel, and he sang the Michigan fight song as he walked up to the stage to take his spot with Brady Quinn, Matt Leinart, Mark Ingram, Urban Meyer, and Rob Stone. Here's what his introduction sounded like.
Columbus has been waiting for this moment for a couple days now.
Yeah.
It is time now to introduce the newest member of our Big Noon kickoff team, the one, the only Dave Portnoy. Our security budget.
Stoner saying, you've just destroyed our security budget. He walked out singing the Michigan fight song.
Yeah.
To a stadium full of Columbus people.
Yeah, yeah, I know. I think that, what was it like on the desk with him? Did Urban Meyer get annoyed with him at all or anything?
A little bit. They traded jerseys. You know, it was, it looked like Urban was playing along.
Okay.
He didn't spend
because Urban Meyer used to be very critical of Pat McAfee's antics.
Yeah.
That he, you know, he didn't, he thought that was a bunch of tomfoolery.
Yeah.
Where people just wanted to hear hardcore football talk. So I was most curious about how he'd receive Dave Portnoy.
Portnoy didn't spend a ton of time up at the desk. He did on that scene. He came up to the desk and they chatted for a little bit. When he gave his prediction on the game, he was by himself down off to the side. And here's what that sounded like.
Ohio State, this pass here, Ohio State killed Tennessee, basically made them quit. Then they beat Texas. Michigan's beaten Alabama in the last 2 years. Out in the Midwest, this means something. I'm so sick of hearing about the SEC. Last year in the bowls, the Big Ten was 5-1 against the SEC teams. Yet you still hear SEC this, SEC that, better down south. No, Midwestern football. We like a good punt in Iowa. We respect 3 yards up the middle. The Big Ten is back in charge, man football. And along those lines, these people may be surprised. I'm taking the Buckeyes today. I think they beat, now they're cheering for me. I think Buckeyes take the horns down and bring another win for the Big Ten.
Okay, so he picked Ohio State. At first, Seth, when I was watching him and he was doing all this heel stuff, he was basically just agitating the Ohio State crowd. I'm like, okay, I wonder what the shelf life of this is going to be when he's not doing Ohio State games. Like, what's, you know... Who's the
foil?
Yeah,
just riling up the crowd and everything. I think that's what was merited that day. It's not always going to have to be him talking smack about Ohio State or the Big Ten or anything else like that.
Well, we heard that one of the reasons they brought him on there was to be a Big Ten homer.
Yeah.
And I think that's when I heard his prediction of Ohio State there, I'm like, all right, he's not just there to be a heel for Ohio State people. He's there to home for the Big Ten. Because Fox is sort of the Big Ten network. And the ESPN, I think people feel like stumps for the SEC all the time. So in this age where there's this campaign going on to get teams into the playoffs now, this 12-team playoff, it almost feels like Fox says, okay, well, we need a guy who's just going to be a complete homer for the Big Ten.
Well, it's not like it was just it's not necessarily a homer pick to choose Ohio State over Texas because Ohio State was favored over Texas.
No, but for him it is. I mean, he hates Ohio State.
Right, it is. Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I just like with Arch Manning, I don't want to draw too many conclusions based on week one. Like if he had chosen Ohio State, even though they were 14-point underdogs or something, well then, okay, I can't take him seriously. I think, Portnoy's no dummy. You might hate him, but he's no dummy. I think over time, he's probably going to be like any other panelist, and he's going to have like less necessarily testosterone-fueled takes or what have you. I don't know.
Do you care about Dave Portnoy's opinions, like analyzing games at all? Like,
if he makes a good point, I suppose. I don't know. Not any more so than maybe Charles Barkley talking about NCAA basketball.
Correct.
I don't necessarily, but I don't really care. It's hard for me because I don't really care about any of those guys on the pregame. Like, it's usually just such surface level stuff that it really is more about the production and the entertainment value more so than anything else. I think it was a smart move by them just because he brings a lot of eyeballs with him. Like, Barstool is a giant, and there's going to be a lot of people that might not typically watch the pregame shows or whatever. They're going to watch. But I guess the question is, are people going to turn away from it because Portnoy's on there? That's where
they get sick of Portnoy being a jerk on there.
Yeah. People claim that they've gotten sick of McAfee on some of his other platforms, but I don't think it's borne out in the ratings necessarily. I think that he'll attract eyeballs, and whatever his takes are, it's kind of like when they bring the. It's I don't think he's going to turn enough people off that it hurts him somehow. I think he's just going to bring more people to it.
See, I think every week, and I don't know if it's going to turn people off or not. I think every week it's going to be some new wrestling shtick with Portnoy. Like, I don't think he ever settles in and becomes an actual analyst on the panel or anything. Like, he is a sideshow on that thing, is what it feels like to me. The comparison to McAfee always felt a little lazy to me, just because if you, and again, it's just one show with Portnoy. McAfee, to my knowledge, and I watch College Game Day fairly religiously, he does the opposite of what Portnoy did. McAfee comes on and kisses the ass of whoever the home crowd is out there. He's like a babyface. He's a good guy to them. Portnoy was there to irritate all the people in the stadium there.
Yeah, that is a good, McAfee.
They're both loud.
People get annoyed with McAfee, but he's generally very positive. It's very rare that he just goes after a school or a person and attacks them. Whereas Portnoy is not going to be afraid to go after specific players, go after the schools themselves. They're just different. Yeah, they're much different. I think the similarity is just in that they both have huge social media audiences.
Yes.
So that was the, and McAfee kind of did it on both sides, though, because he was a former player, so he was on networks, but he was also on his YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. But when they bring him now, a lot of the appeal of having McAfee on a show is that he's just got such a huge YouTube audience and everything else that comes with it, that the TV networks feel like, okay, yeah, we got to have him here because those people are going to watch now. That's the comparison. Portnoy's the same way. He's completely been driven by social media.
Well, the other thing with McAfee, and this is probably a little bit like inside, but people that work with McAfee love working with McAfee. Mm-hmm. I know people in WWE who, when McAfee was doing Monday Night Raw, he doesn't do WWE anymore because he just ran out of, there's only 24 hours in a day and there's only so much your body can take. They loved working with him in WWE. There's stories of him behind the scenes at ESPN when they had to get rid of some people for budget reasons. McAfee's offering up, hey, take it out of my pay. We need this, and that guy behind the scenes. People that work with McAfee, I know at WWE and from what I've heard at ESPN, all really like working with him. I don't know how much people – Portnoy got sideways with ESPN for the brief time Barstool was with them. Like, the Barstool –
yeah, but that wasn't even anything they did. That was like – that was somebody – that was before they even had a chance to get – like, do actually do anything. They got canceled because somebody in the – one of the executives at ESPN said, no, I don't like these guys.
Right, right.
I think the – well, I guess, you know, the interesting thing is one of the things that Portnoy – he's been an actual employer of more people than McAfee has been. Yeah. And so he's had issues with various employees or whatever. But when it comes to the, like now one of his competitors is what used to be a Barstool podcast, Bussin' with the Boys. Mm-hmm. Now ESPN is using Bussin' with the Boys now on Saturday morning as well, right? Mm-hmm. So like that's he has a lot of people in media who got their start with him.
Including McAfee.
McAfee as well. You're right. Yeah, McAfee as well. Yeah. So that's an interesting dynamic there. Is that I know there's a lot of people that like Portnoy because he basically gave them their start, and then wasn't a jerk and didn't try to shut them down when they went off on their own.
Yeah. I mean, you brought up Urban Meyer. Like that would be the interesting part if we started to hear things behind the scenes that Urban Meyer didn't like Dave Portnoy or vice versa. You know, there's a power struggle of some sort.
I think with Portnoy, the potential is just for him doing a lot of stuff away from the desk. Did he do a pizza review of a Columbus pizzeria or anything?
Not that
they used on the broadcast, at least. I'm sure he did one on his own social media, but
maybe.
That would be the him doing a pizza review. In one of the college town places or something that kind of stuff. I don't think he's going to be on the desk as much as McAfee is.
No. Oh, no. McAfee's a fixture on the desk. He definitely felt like somebody who was on this sidecar compared to the five guys on the set from the parts that I saw and the clips that I saw too. Most of the clips, the only one that I saw of him up at the desk was him walking up there that we played doing the fight song and him and Urban Meyer giving him an Ohio State jersey up there.
The thing that guys like Portnoy and McAfee have done a really good job of, and why they're so successful online, is that they create the feel of, oh, I'm hanging out with these guys.
Community.
Yeah, there's a community around it, and I think that's where the appeal for that show, or like for Fox to want to bring him in. They want to be sure that the people who already follow Portnoy feel like, oh, I get to hang out with Portnoy on Saturday morning.
Yeah.
And that ends up probably being a lot of what he, his man on the street type stuff more so than the desk stuff.
Yeah, well, like who he was, the clips that I saw and the parts of the broadcast I saw, he was Portnoy. There was nothing inauthentic about it. Like he wasn't on all his platforms.
They're not gonna make him dress in a suit and sit down and give his three reasons for three keys to the game or anything like that.
Yeah, he's in a Michigan shirt. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Labor Day Monday. Hopefully you're up with us listening. We appreciate you if you are. The experts at the NFL or at NFL.com did their picks for the upcoming season. What are the experts saying about the Houston Texans? Are they not only the pick in the AFC South, are they the heaviest pick in the AFC amongst the experts? We'll dig into that coming up next.